Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word together, may you illuminate to our hearts and our minds and our very soul what you want us to hear as individual Christians and as individual Christians who are part of a community of faith, the church, that we might be more like what you want us to be. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our text today is Romans. I made a shift this week and I wasn't real sure, but I just didn't feel comfortable with the gospel text, which is what I usually preach on Sunday mornings. And I made the change to Romans, which is also part of the lectionary. And now I understand why. I think you'll understand why now. Paul sometimes gets a bad rap. He's the human author of the book of Romans. And again, it's a bad rap, but you got to remember, Paul was the first one to say there is no Gentile, there's no Jew, there's no male, there's no female, there's no free, there's no slave in Christ Jesus. That Christ breaks down all the barriers we have, the human barriers we put up. And we still put up human barriers. Christ breaks those down if we listen to him. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, and for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and in drunkenness, nor in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, nor in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Dynamic Christians love others. Dynamic Christians love others. Paul says here, you owe nothing to your neighbor or nothing to anyone else, owe nothing but to love them. Now, Paul has said, basically owe them everything. Because if you love others, you want the best for them. You therefore will what? If they have a need, you'll help meet their need. And you will never harm them in any way because you love them. If you're a husband or wife, you're to love your spouse. If you're a good husband or a good wife, you love your spouse, right? If you're a good parent, you love your children. Therefore, you want the best for them. That means sometimes you put limits on them because they're trying to go after a path that would hurt them. And so you limit them or try to limit them. But you want the best for them. In fact, Paul reminds us, he said, this summarizes the law, because do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal. The Ten Commandments are first our relationship with God, the vertical relationship, and then the rest of the Ten Commandments talk about our relationship to others. Do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not covet, all those things. And he quotes Jesus when he says, the law of love your neighbor as yourself. That was one of the two great commandments that Jesus gave us. And Paul is reminding us that we owe nothing to our neighbor or to another but to love them. He's saying we owe them everything. Anything we can do for them, do it. You might remember when Jesus was being questioned by the scribes and the Pharisees. They were experts in the Jewish law. They were lawyers, if you will, and nothing wrong with being a lawyer, but sometimes they get very narrow in thinking. We might remember the famous statement, what is? Well, is pretty clear. What is? Taking that legal mind and narrowing it down to try to get out of responsibility. And when Jesus was being questioned, they said, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul, which every Jew would recognize. That's called the Shema. It's out of Deuteronomy. God tells them to put it in their heart, carry it with them, and they literally carried it with them. They made little things and carried it with them. And he gave them more than they asked for, which Jesus always does. And he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. That implies you love yourself, and we're supposed to love ourselves. We're not supposed to think more of ourselves than we do. We're not supposed to think less of ourselves than we ought to. We're supposed to love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves. Therefore, Jesus said, those are the two great commandments. And the lawyer, not being satisfied because he's sort of embarrassed, he says, well, who was our neighbor? Trying to narrow it down as small as possible. And Jesus opened the floodgate. He told this story. A man was beaten and robbed and left dead by the side of the road, and a priest went by and saw him and said, I can't touch him. I'll be defiled for the Sabbath. So he walked on by. Another religious leader went by and said, I can't touch him. I'll be defiled for the Sabbath. And then this one came by and nursed him back and helped him his sores and bandaged him and took him to the inn he was staying in and paid for food and water and care and left him and said, here. Gave the innkeeper money and says, spend all that's necessary to take care of him, and on my way back through, I'll pay you any else that needs to be paid. And the man that was doing this kindness was a Samaritan, and Jesus turned to the scribe and Pharisees and said, the one had questioned him and said, who was his neighbor? And I'm sure it hurt him to say, the Samaritan. Because those Jews loved to hate some Samaritans. And the one they hated was the only one that cared for the man. And he said, he got the gist of the story. He was his neighbor. So what does that mean for us? When Paul says, owe nothing to anyone, including your neighbor, except for love. Who is our neighbor? Anyone who has need and we can help them. He opens up the floodgates, Jesus did. If someone has a need and you can help them, they're your neighbor and you owe them love, so you take care of them. That's why we fed people at the ball game yesterday, that especially evacuees. That's why we had people going inviting people in the hotels to church today for comfort and solace and remind them that God loves them and we care about them. That's why we gave out meal cards for people to go to different local restaurants to help them with the burden of the expense of evacuating. Because we're to love them even though we don't know who they are. And if we love somebody, can you see some of the ills in our culture that would solve? We wouldn't hate anybody. We would love them. If you love them, you can't hate them, can you? We wouldn't lie to people, we wouldn't murder people, we wouldn't steal from people, we wouldn't slander people, we wouldn't gossip about people, we wouldn't be two-faced with people. Because we love them, we can't do those things. And our world would be much better off. And in fact, we would love them, then we would share that God loves them and want them to have a transformed heart. Hence, we would witness to them. And the way we treated them, we would show them God's love. So when Paul says all we owe our neighbor is love, he's saying we owe them everything. He's not narrowing it. He's making it very broad. But just as dynamic Christians love others, dynamic Christians live in the light of Christ. Dynamic Christians live in the light of Christ. Then Paul moves on and he says, wake from your sleep. Time is running short. Get about the business of the church is really what he's saying. Because remember, Paul lived in the dynamic that the second coming was going to happen tomorrow. Now, Paul lived roughly 2,000 years ago. So if it happened tomorrow for Paul, we're in trouble because we've been left behind, y'all. Do you get that? But no, it hasn't happened yet. But he lived in that tension that it was going to happen tomorrow. So he was therefore, always about the business of the kingdom of God. He wanted everybody that could believe to believe. That was why he was so proactive in his mission trips. That's why he went out so often. That's why he encouraged so many to be evangelistic, to share the gospel news, to love others, to care for others, because he saw the second coming tomorrow, not years down the road. He lived in that dynamic. That's why Hurricane Irma wouldn't bother him, because he figured before it gets here tomorrow afternoon, he's going to be in glory. He lived in that tension. He really knew what was important. And he said, put on the armor of light. Do not be given over to sexual promiscuity, sensuality. Don't let those things rule your life. And he says, say no to the lust of the flesh. And we have problems because when we hear lust, we narrow that down. Lust of the flesh, we narrow that down to sexual. There are other lusts of the flesh. Comfort, ease, power, control, greed. Those are all lusts of the flesh. Don't be given over to those. But in our culture, we narrow it down to sexual. It's not just sexual lust of the flesh. Being greedy, wanting comfort, ease, never have to do anything. Have a bunch of servants around, take care of me. I should never do anything. That's a lust of the flesh. Lording it over others. That's a lust of the flesh. And he's saying, put on the armor of light. Put on Christ's light. Notice what he said. All those things that are of darkness. Remember, Jesus said, everything that's done in darkness will be brought to light someday. And what he's talking about at nighttime, particularly for them, not so much for us because we got all these modern conveniences, but at nighttime they didn't have much illumination. That's when you went around stealing. That's when you went around doing things you shouldn't do. When I was growing up, I had to be in by midnight because my daddy had this saying. He said, nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight unless you're at work or something. I didn't have to worry about it because the girls I dated all had to be in by 11, so I was in shortly after 11. I had to get them home by 11, so, you know, I didn't hang around much after that. My buddies and I, we all went home. But nothing good happens after midnight. And what Daddy was trying to say is what Paul's trying to say here. Put on the light. Don't carouse around at night. Don't be given to drunkenness. Don't be given to the lusts of the flesh, but put on the light of Christ. Live like you're a Christian. We, the church, are to live to a higher standard. I get tickled at some church folks. They say, look at that world, how bad they are. And I look at them and say, they're supposed to be that way. And they say, what are you talking about? I said, they're not believers. They don't walk to the standard we're supposed to walk for. We're the ones who are walked to a higher standard, to God's standard. That's what discipleship is about, learning to walk and change the behaviors we have once we're a believer. Sometimes we in the church try to get somebody and clean them up on the outside and change their behaviors, and the point is they've got to have a transformed heart. It's got to be transformed by God. Other words, you get what Jesus called those who obeyed all the law, but they were did not have a transformed heart. He called them whitewashed sepulchres. What does that mean? A sepulcher was a tomb. He's saying they've made their life a pretty tomb, but they're still dead inside. And we in the church sometimes do that. We get somebody and try to clean up all their behaviors, but they don't have a transformed heart. If they don't have a transformed heart, what? Guess what? It doesn't do any good. And the heart's transformed by God, not us. And once you're a believer, you were to put on that light, and our behaviors will follow suit. If we're truly following Christ, our behaviors will follow suit. If we listen to Christ and Scripture, we put on the armor of light. And we act like we're children of light, not children of darkness. And we love people. We love people that we don't even know. And we care about them. We want the best for them. That's what is at the heart of love. And we, the church, are to walk to God's standards, not the standards of the world. And that's what discipleship is, that walk and that living like we're children of light, not darkness. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you can transform our heart, that you call us to be children of light and put on Christ's light daily, that we walk in his light and to his standards, not our own, not the world's standards, but God, your standards. May we love people we don't even know, and may we care about the best for them. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing a song. We invite you to respond to God. Some of you right where you stand might need to be praying for someone else or praying for yourself. Or maybe you're a member of another church and you want to start serving God through the ministries of this church and move your membership here. Please feel free to come down and we'll start talking about that. Or you can call me this week or email me this week and we can talk about that. Or maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life and you need to turn to him and say, God, you're right, I'm a sinner. All that means is you've lived other than the way God wanted you to live. You want to turn from your sin and turn towards God with your life. We call that repentance in the church, a change of direction in life. And you want to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. If that's your need and you want to talk about that this morning, you can come down and we can start talking about that. Or you can call me this week or email me this week and we'll set up a time to talk about that. However you need to respond to God, I want you to do it as we stand and sing, please. Mm-hmm.